This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Author Walter Dean Myers has met famous writers like James Baldwin and Langston Hughes. These days, the 76-year-old prefers to meet with low-income children. He's encouraging them to read as he travels the country as the 2012 National Ambassador for Young People's Literature. It's a role that brought him to Kalamazoo this summer. WMUK's Erlene McMichael spoke with Myers in July ahead of his visit to Kalamazoo.
Upon your selection as a National Ambassador for Young People's Literature, you talked about that you wanted to focus on low-income minority populations. Have you been doing that in this year and a half?
Yes, I have been. I have been focusing on the lowest income because what we tend to do is to dismiss these kids. We tend to say, well, they're not reading because they don't have the cognitive skills, or they don't read because their environment does not encourage them and the environment won't encourage them. Some of that is true, but I really believe that we can't afford not to try to bring these kids to the grand American picture. We have to do that. And I think I'm uniquely qualified to do that because of my own background. Whatever these kids are going through, whatever they are going through, I've been down that road. I can tell them that. Well, I was given to the dean family to raise. So I was not raised by my biological parents. I was raised by foster parents. So I sort of understand where that thing is going. And I had speech problems for years. I went to speech therapy for 10 years, I think. And so people could not understand me sometimes. And that led to a lot of, you know, teasing and fighting and what have you. But when I wasn't playing basketball or some of those sports activity, I stayed home and read. That was my retreat.
One of the things that you say is that reading is not optional. What strategies would you give to families to help increase the interest for reading, and what can communities do?
Okay, my mom, my foster mom, could only read at about, I would guess, a third grade level. But she read with me three or four times a week. What she read was true romance magazines, almost exclusively. And I would sit there with her. She was not thinking that she was teaching me something. She, you know, it was just a pastime that she liked. And so what I say to people is that you have a gift to give to your child. You don't have to be highly educated, but you have a gift to give to that child. And it's up to you to recognize that. It's up to the communities to recognize that. And that every parent has this gift. What we're trying to do in New York, part of this program with the Every Child a Reader Foundation, is to set up a center in which parents or guardians, and sometimes grandparents, can come and learn to read to their children. Reading is a wonderful way of spending some time with a child. It doesn't have to be done in long periods of time. 30 minutes a day, 3 or 4 days a week is wonderful. But that child will become involved in books. We have all the research that's necessary. We don't need to bring the research into the public school system as much as we need to bring that research into the communities. And we need to explain to the communities that it's not the school that can solve the problem. It's the communities that can solve the problem.
We have a program here in the Kalamazoo area called Lift Up Through Literacy, where they have these classes throughout the community teaching parents and caregivers of children how to boost literacy in the home, doing exactly the kind of thing that you're talking about. I want to switch gears a little bit right now and talk about your work as an author. You're a children's author primarily. I know you do some poetry. Our listeners should know that you have won 2 Newbery Honor Awards and 5 Coretta Scott King Awards. You're quite a distinguished writer. Themes that you write about has a lot to do with your upbringing. It's about things that affect teenagers in urban settings like gang life. And my understanding is that it's really quite gritty.
Yeah, I'm writing about my background a lot. One of the things that I want to do is to have young people open books and find themselves in the books. We don't very often write about inner city children. We don't very often write about poor children of any race. For example, I was in a city in West Virginia a couple of years ago, and it was really, really a poor town. Nobody writes about these kids. So when they pick up a book, they're not going to find themselves well. I have nothing against Harry Potter. I have nothing against any of these books which deal with more or less a middle-class population. But you really need to have books which are inclusive of all Americans.
So this is a deliberate strategy on your part to help boost reading or interest in reading for children of color?
It's not a deliberate strategy. It's more or less writing about the things I know about and care about a lot. Now, so and I could have made more a lot more money writing in a different vein. I could have written more books about white kids and get a larger market. But I said, well, you know, that's fine. That's good. But let me write about the things I know and the things that I would have liked to have read as a kid. Now, I remember as a child, like 14, 15, and my teacher introduced me to Balzac, who I thought was the most wonderful writer that ever lived. And I was thrilled to death to read all of his stories. And then read books by Anatole France and Pierre Loti. That was wonderful. But then I didn't find myself in the books. So when I became discouraged, I just did not find a place for myself in the world. I mentioned this when I met James Baldwin for the first time. And Baldwin said he felt the same way. And Baldwin, who lived not that far from me in Harlem, Baldwin did not find a place for himself, and he left and went to France to live. Richard Wright went to France. You know, I don't want kids going to France. I want people to find themselves in America, and I want white children to read about black children and look at them as complete human beings, not to look at them as only athletes or entertainers and what have you. But basically, you know, I think I'm against the idea of I have a strategy to do this. I think basically I write because I love it. You know, I love writing. I get up every morning anxious to get to my computer. And I write fast enough, and I have been as successful as I have been, so I have options.
Despite the very gritty and really tough topics that you deal with in your books, there's a sense of hope. There was a New York Times book review in 2008 where the writer writes, "Drugs, drive-by shootings, gang warfare, wasted lives. Myers has written about all these subjects with nuanced understanding and a hard-won, qualified sense of hope." There's always the sense of hope.
You have to give kids a sense of hope and a sense that they can rise above their circumstances. Although your circumstances might not be ideal, and they often are far, far from ideal. If you talk to some of the thousands of kids I've spoken to, people with similar backgrounds do well. And it's not always the college education that you need, or you don't have to finish college at 20 or 21. You can do things at your own pace, at your own level, but you have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, it's going to be difficult.
Why is it important that young people read? You say as you've gone out there, you've kind of found that some kids wonder why should they read? They don't see how this applies. How's this going to make them successful ultimately?
Which is why I say to them, reading is not optional. And we allow kids to believe that sometimes. We say things like, books can take you to faraway places, and book is like a frigate, I think one writer said. And that suggests to me that all you have to say is, I don't want to go to faraway places, or I don't want to read about Harry Potter's world, and it's fine. It's not fine, because you have to be able to read to survive in this country. One of the things that I discussed in the book, All the Right Stuff, is that there is a social contract in existence. Whether you want to deal with it or not is totally immaterial. You have to deal with the social contract. And the social contract says that in our society, there are skills needed to succeed. And that what we will continue to do, because we appreciate these skills, is to structure the society so that reading is important, so that high school graduation is important. You have to recognize that. You don't have a choice. It's like playing in the NFL and saying, well, I'm not a physical person, but I'll play. No, you won't.
My understanding is you also tackle a lot of historical topics in some of your books.
I'm so interested in history. It's just fascinating to me. For example, now I'm working on a book on flyers, black flyers, and how many women flew back in the 30s. That's just fascinating. I mean, once you discover that, you really have to bring that history to young people and to say to them, look, this is who you are as much as some civil rights person. There were these scientists who worked back in the turn of the century, African-American scientists who worked as neurosurgeons. And you need to know this as much as you need to know about Thurgood Marshall.
Sounds like you're filling in some information gaps for young people, knowledge gaps.
One of the things that I've been working on over the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, is the idea that when people don't read, they create not only a language gap, which is clearly recognizable and which holds them back in life, but there's a knowledge gap that's stunning, that kids don't know anything about stuff that happened within the last 50 years. I am stunned when I talk to kids and they'll ask questions like, when the Vietnam War happened, how did your brother get there? Did it take a bus? They don't know where Vietnam is. They can't find it on a map. And these things hurt kids. They have a limited understanding of what's going on around them. And that stops them. That stops individuals.
New York Times best-selling young adult author Walter Dean Myers spoke with WMUK's Erlene McMichael this past summer. Myers is the 2012 National Ambassador for Young People's Literature. His travels to promote reading for low-income children have taken him around the country, including a visit to Kalamazoo. Hear a longer version of the interview with Walter Dean Myers at WMUK.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.